Blog Talk Radio.
Rocking the yarmulke like a pimp hat, taxing the sins with impeccable syntax. The serotonin's absorbing the force of the impact. So much talcum powder on my riding hair, my skin cracks. I'm hanging from the tire, swinging till the limb snaps. I larded and dried up the money, I caught the dreams in the lint trap. I'll turn a decade of work to a 10-sack, make a smoke their own character in the beginning act. Exit, stage left, are they deaf? I'm the only one that can burn you and still be looked at as a great chef. I'll eat what I prepare, no need to be worried about it. I'll keep it nice and fair, if I kill you, it'll be my death as well. I carry karma like a tumor, the pressure, the harm of arming with the certainty shit will pop up. I keep to myself, just fermenting until the moment someone pops to me, and then we got a bottle of papa. I can ignite love, or I can spark hate. Walk on water and glide on parquet. Still broke as fuck, but life's a parfait. Constantly thinking of ways to conquer our prey. Homie, I am gone fishing, all alone in the middle of the ocean when the tide is higher. Nibble, nibble, what's that on my line? Is it worth me reeling in? Am I imagining the shit, or did I feel a tug? I've been gone fishing, hella hungry, but hella patient, waiting for something to take attention. Ooh, what's that on my line? If I don't catch it and gut it would still be leaving with the fucking hook in its mouth. I'm gone fishing.
Fucking hate her down. That means I throw four quarters at them as they make the rounds. I bully my bullies, throw them off guard with a handshake or a pound. Take the dollars and cents quickly and then I'm safe and sound. 1995 ways to get it in. I shit it in the business and inhibited their dividends. Jackpot, I discipline you grasshopper sipping when the trash talking shit begins. I ash crop this bitch and win. Landslide, next time you're on the 101, make sure you got your chains hooked up and we can have a ton of fun. I'll push you off the cliff and pick you up within seconds of you hitting the ground. So like I'm proof of point to you, homie, cause I'm gone fishing, all alone in the middle of the ocean when the tide is higher. Nibble, nibble, what's that on my line? Is it worth me reeling in? Am I imagining the shit, or did I feel a tug? I've been gone fishing, hella hungry, but hella patient, waiting for something to take attention. Ooh, what's that on my line? If I don't catch it and gut it would still be leaving with the fucking hook in its mouth. I'm gone fishing.
Feel no hot, just throw in the towel and give in. We're feeding the cattle and sprinkling feet for the chicken. The seasonal drought is sitting, it can mean your eviction. We're peeping them out if we see the reaper weeding them out. I sit in my boat with myself with such anticipation, taking no notice of any random stipulations. Discreet with the motive, I can hammer them with the cadence. Put some chum in the water and here I come with the fodder. I'm fucking plucking them out of the deep blue sea, then I toss them in. Rob them of the basic needs, cut off the oxygen. Put on my ice along with all the other occupants. I'm cooking them later with a book, I'm hooking the haters. Cause I'm deformed and seaborne, so be warned. A warm breeze bringing the beast warm. Thorns, stingers only, I'll turn you to plant matter, tree ornaments, pre-mourn you right where you're reborn. I read more, leave more whores for cheap porn. Clones of the weasel being sworn into each dorm. I see storms before you can record them. The media's pointless like buying pants pre-torn. Cause I'm gone fishing, all alone in the middle of the ocean when the tide is higher. Nibble, nibble, what's that on my line? Is it worth me reeling in? Am I imagining the shit, or did I feel a tug? I've been gone fishing, hella hungry, but hella patient, waiting for something to take attention. Ooh, what's that on my line? If I don't catch it and gut it would still be leaving with the fucking hook in its mouth.
One more time.
Gone fishing, all alone in the middle of the ocean when the tide is higher.
That's right.
Nibble, nibble, what's that
what's
on
that?
My line? Is it worth me reeling in? Am I imagining the shit, or did I feel a tug?
I've
been gone fishing, hella hungry, but hella patient, waiting for something to take attention. Ooh, what's that on my line? If I don't catch it and gut it would still be leaving with the fucking hook in its mouth. I'm gone fishing.
Highway. Disgruntled Employees Association. We thought we were done raping the industry. Urban Matadors. You know the deal.
Yeah, a little bit of Gone Fishing there. Here we are, another Friday night with nothing to lose, and that was Gone Fishing from the Roadside Assistance album by one of our featured guests here tonight, Highway, and we'll have him on here shortly, really, really soon here. Gone Fishing, and there seems to be some fun theme there, and I can't wait to hear about Humboldt County because, you know, I used to live in California, and I swear to God, I never heard of Humboldt County, but I think he's putting it on the map with this album. Mr. Gasinski, my man, are you there, buddy?
What up? What up for you?
Hey. How's it going, bud?
It's going. It's going.
It's going. You know, guys have much snow there in
it's
six
starting
in New York?
To come down now. It's starting to come down now, so it's been for the last hour or two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's that nice heavy wet shit.
The heavy wet shit. Mm.
Yeah.
I like my women.
I like it wet.
Heavy and wet. Mm-hmm.
Heavy and wet. That's what you need.
Heavy and wet, yeah. We have two guests here tonight. Our first featured guest is going to be Highway, and
yes.
He's going to be, he's got a great sound.
I can't wait. I mean, his lyrics kill me. You know, that last song, you know, rocking the yarmulke like a pimp hat is how it sounds.
I know. He's got great lyrics. He's got a great sound, too, man. I'm telling you, man. He's like throws Eminem under the bus, I think. Just his sound is so good, and he has something special going on, and I'm excited to have him on. And then for the second hour, we're going to have on the good old, we've had them on before, and I want to hear from them again here and hear how the whole event went. But we have on Craig, Katie, and Lucas D.D. Rex. They're from Brooklyn. You know, they're poets, musicians, and do all kinds of performance art and all that. And they had that big, the Cassville Get Yourself Together tour going on?
It
went from
long-ass tour. Didn't you go see them?
I did see them. I saw them live, and it was fucking fantastic, I have to tell you. I mean, they went from Brooklyn all the way out to, like, Portland and then back. And that's amazing. And they have such an amazing, sound, and the whole show is very dynamic. Just really cool, man. So they're going to tell us how that all went and what they have coming up, you know, in the future, you know, as far as, like, future events and everything. But you know what? Oh, my God. We gotta do the Pledge of Allegiance here really quick. Just to be patriotic.
Well,
here,
you know,
here we
tomorrow's Pearl Harbor Day or whatever, Remembrance Day. Well, actually, today, it's after midnight.
Oh,
so
holy crap, you're right. Pearl
definitely
Harbor
have
Day.
To do the pledge.
Oh, yeah. We have to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And, oh, my gosh, you mentioned Pearl Harbor Day. That reminds me that, oh, my gosh, there's a show going on tomorrow in Denver. Remember we had on what was it?
What? William Seward Bonney, right?
Yeah.
His show?
Exactly. He's got a big show coming up tomorrow. So, Pearl Harbor Day.
I hope he got the tater tot truck. He said something about a tater tot truck.
Yeah, I heard the tater tot truck guy had to cancel. I mean, that's a bummer. Must not have been enough ketchup. But, I think it's going to be a cool show. They got a lot of cool bands and poets and everything all set up for that. But, for now, let's do a quick Pledge of Allegiance here, and let's move forward. All right, here we go. Remove your hat.
Working on it.
Remove your pelvis.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jesus. You know, I imagine that's what Abraham Lincoln's voice sounded like. Whose voice? I mean, honestly, who do you imagine when you hear that?
Yeah,
Ronald Reagan?
Think Lincoln. Yeah,
you think Lincoln? Or do
Reagan,
you think
Reagan would be fucking snoring? What are you talking about?
Yeah, Reagan would have been like, well, here we go again.
whenever I hear Reagan, I have nightmares of his face. Like Phil Collins or Genesis did a video and it had all these masks. And one of them was a Reagan mask. I have like nightmares.
Oh, I think it was actually a puppet, wasn't it? Wasn't it a puppet?
It might have been 80s. A puppet or something.
Yeah, that's classic 80s stuff.
Back when MTV used to show videos.
Okay, so you're spooked out by Ronald Reagan puppets. There we go.
Yeah.
That will be my costume for Halloween next year, just to creep you out.
Appreciate it.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. So anyhow, speaking of being, you know, creeped out and everything, who can resist? Who can resist, you know, Craigslist and all that? And then who can resist, a story about a husband who's, you know, he's told to choose between a wife and his Harley, you know, his Harley motorcycle, you know? So this guy, he tries to sell both of them on Craigslist, okay? All right, so, how does one go about selling, you know, their Harley and their wife on Craigslist? And I guess what I think they listed for, what was it, $5,900?
Yeah, you get to choose one or the other, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, see? I've seen the pictures, and I think I would choose the Harley.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, Craigslist is insane, and it's creepy. I don't know how these people go about doing this, and I mean, is it even legal to like try to sell your wife on Craigslist?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you'd have to claim it on your taxes or something.
Exactly. All right, here's a tax exemption. Yes, I would like to sell my wife, and maybe I'll be a cuckold and just watch her get fucked. So anyhow.
See, around here, man, they give away all kinds of weird shit. Like, one time this guy was giving away a roof of a shed. Just the roof of the entire shed.
Roof of a shed, huh? Okay.
Yes, it said roof, and I clicked on the picture, and it was a shed roof. It was bizarre. I don't know. Tonight I found somebody giving away two blown-out couches sitting by the curb, looked like they're all cum-stained. This is kind of
trying to give them away for free on Craigslist?
Yes. You just got to pick it up.
Wow. Well, yeah. There we go. And, you know, this whole Craigslisting and giving stuff away or trying to sell yourself brings me back to something that has been on my mind for several weeks now. I can't get over it. Professional cuddler. Okay?
Well, why pay $5,900 for a wife, you know, to buy somebody's wife, and you could pay $60 and get a cuddle?
Right. This woman, it fascinates the hell out of me. And I swear to God, I'm trying up and down to get this woman on our show. Because I want to know how you can be a professional cuddler for $60 an hour and claim it's all strictly platonic. You know, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And, you know, she's a female, and she's, you know, I've seen a picture. She's an attractive woman, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot. Here's my question, though, and how would people react? I mean, she's gotten a lot of, like, national, like, attention through, you know, social networking and the media. What if a male decided he was going to be a professional cuddler, okay? He was going to cuddle people professionally. Do you think he would have the same type of success? What do you think, man?
Oh, no. No way. No way. No way.
Well, okay. Well, what kind of success would a male cuddler? I mean, this woman, she's 29 years old. She's attractive. She's easy on the eye. Right. You know. She claims it's all strictly platonic, and yeah, whatever. You know, if I'm going to pay $60 an hour to get cuddled, I better have a happy ending. I just, you know, want to put that out there. But so what if a guy, and I'm looking for a new job here, or some sort of career.
What kind of success
would a male have, you know, trying to be a professional
coder? Who would be his target audience? Would he be trying to get, you know, males or females?
Well, who do you think her target audience is? She never specified it's strictly male or men. Do you think maybe she cuddles women, too, for $60 an hour? Or do you think a woman would be dumb enough to cuddle her for $60 an hour?
I mean, I'd like to think and hope women are smarter than that. I mean, some guys are just fucking creepy, you know, and that's probably who she's getting with the guys.
Guys.
The creepy guy that hangs out on the playground.
Yeah. She claims, you know, she meets these individuals live, like at, you know, a neutral site, like a, you know, a coffee shop or something like Starbucks or whatnot, and, you know, gets the lowdown, like, all right, okay, you're okay, so I'm going to go to your house, and I'm just going to lay there and spoon with you and rub your head and just, you know, whatever.
How fucking sad you have to be to do that, though. I mean, that's... How do you tell your friends? How do you be, yeah, man, you know, I gotta go cuddle with this fucking broad, or, you know, gotta work overtime this week so I can afford my cuddling.
Right. So, all right. So, and I'm not naming any names, but what if a male was, you know, to get into that industry? You think he would have to target, what? I don't know. Would he have to target like MILFs or whatnot, or what would he have to target?
You know, if he was young, you know, that could work. Some old, like maybe some old, like cat women, you know, the cat ladies, you know, those old, sad, lonely women that have their cats and their, you know, books. And he might get some action there, but then once the male cuddler starts to get older, you know, he's out of business.
Right.
So.
So, okay. So I definitely have to target that.
if you shave your body hair, and you could go for the, you know, you try to pass yourself off as a twink and go in the, you know, the leather daddies, get the leather daddies to cuddle with you.
Well, you know, we all try to make a buck as best we can. yeah. All right. So, I mean, I don't know. You don't think a male cuddler, professional cuddler, would be as successful as a female cuddler then?
Yeah, probably. Probably not so much.
Probably not so much, unless they were
so much
happy.
You should give it a try and give us a report, you know. put it out there. You can put out your own personal on Craigslist and just put male cuddler, you know. And
say, male cuddler. male cuddler, 15 cents an hour.
There you go. see if you get any responses.
Oh, I'm sure I would. I'm sure I'd also be labeled some sort of serial killer because there's been some of those on Craigslist.
I never buy anything off Craigslist because I worry that, like, you show up and they're going to, you know, shish kebab your ass or something.
Right. Well, all right, man. We're gonna have on Highway here in just a few minutes. Yeah, Highway. Roadside Assistance. They got their big debut album coming out December 10th, and it's available for pre-order online already. And they have a whole line of clothes and everything else. So, we'll be talking to them real soon, and all right, you know what? We're gonna go ahead and listen to a little bit of a Highway here right now. We're gonna do a little bit of Jew jokes right now by Highway, and we'll be right back.
Oh, this is crazy.
It is. It's awesome.
See, I hear a lot of Jew jokes. Well, now I got a couple Jew jokes for you.
Name that music,
shall we? Now ever since I was a juvie, stealing dollars out of the jukebox, I've been hearing your fucking jujokes. Now get your flu shot, cause if you're illiterate, then I'll drop a jewel on you. It's Tupac, $10 and change inside of a Tucson. I live in Jureka, in a duplex, two and juju beef. But I got the shit up in the kitchen, cooking cherry jubilee. I feel like a mad Jew George, Jew Story. Bitch, while you're at it, give me a pack of Jew bars. And hey, say hello to Beetlejuice. That's right, Beetlejuice. Can you say it one more time for me? Do you want me in my evil views? Me and my July crew, looking for Julies and Judys. It's Judas Priest, screaming for vengeance, fat booty. Truly screw me up. Sue me if I smell like patchouli oil. I'm a goddamn hippie rapper, right? But you cannot do me. Money is a thing, Jermaine Dupri. How about a Jew for one deal? You fuck financially and musically. I'm in Jewtopia where no one can touch me. Nothing but lawyers, doctors, producers, and rabbis here. So don't fuck with me. Keep the senior records, take a picture of my Jew nose. Shout out to my partners out there with bullies and Jew pros. Look, I am, I'm healthy, paying attention to my Jew nutrition. Jewish tradition and pop culture is Jew fiction. I signed cities, boys, sporting Jew chains. Jew Hefner status, engaging mortals in combat, call me Jew K. White supremacists dislike the videos on my YouTube. It's uber super Jew sipping, Jew for glue, who knew? I got that devilish smile, you're channeling Jucifer. Why the hell do I have to rap fast? I come from the gas planet Jupiter. I'm ill when I spit, call it tuberculosis. Now I'm immune to the bogus Jew jokes y'all use upon me. The Chupacabra attacks with a quickness, and you know this. When I roll the dice, it's game over for you, bitch. Jumanji.
And they're gonna get pissed because I didn't say Chewbacca.
I believe you said Chupacabra in there somewhere.
Love the song. I love their sound. All right, you know what? We're going to bring on Highway here. Roadside Assistance coming out Tuesday, December 10th, man, and it's already available online. Let's bring them on. Let's bring them on here. I mean, he's got a great sound. And I want to hear more about this Humboldt County because I used to live in California. And, you know, I think he's putting Humboldt County on the map. All right.
Never heard of it, huh?
I'd never heard of it before either. It's
you've
bizarre.
You've never heard of Humboldt County?
No, I used to live there.
I think it's up north of San Francisco, I think.
It is north of San Francisco. It was like a couple hours north, I think, of where I used to live. Hello, Highway.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Welcome, man. Wow. Thanks for being on the show. And, yeah, you've got a very cool sound as far as, you know, your rap and the hip, I mean, everything. And I've seen all the, you know, the little clothesline and everything you have going with the caps and everything. That is awesome, man. So welcome, yes. And apparently you have a really cool sense of humor. I mean, the Jew jokes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's out there.
It's off-putting to some people, but some people get it. You know?
Right. Yeah. So, damn. Welcome to the show, and thanks for being on, man. And, wow. I'm a little starstruck, actually. I've had a lot of, you know, musicians and stuff on the show here over the past couple years. And, man, you've got a sound, and you've got a, I mean, it's going to happen. I feel it. Wow.
Yeah, you're
going to
blow up, dude, no doubt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. So,
Hell yeah. All right,
first of all.
Man, that Pledge of Allegiance was crazy, man. That shit was dramatic as fuck. It's not like the preview to some new action movie or something. Like
it didn't. So, okay, which president?
Jason Statham just breaking shit.
Which president would you imagine saying that?
Oh, man. I know y'all said Abe Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Damn. I don't know. Maybe John F. Kennedy's ghost.
John F. Kennedy's ghost. I like that.
Rain down with fucking furious glory.
That's great, man. So, wow, yeah. So welcome on the show. And I got to ask, okay, first of all, okay, Highway, this album coming out. December 10th, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, how did that come about?
Damn, man, I've been planning this album for years.
Really?
Basically, all up until this point, really, I've been doing like mixtapes and they were all projects where I didn't own the beats to them. You know what I mean? Like I'll find them on the net or they'd be famous beats. Like the Jujokes is like it's a Rick Ross beat. You know? So I feel like the last, you know, damn, like 6 years has been just kind of like conditioning and training to really have a polished sound, you know, and then that's what this album is. It's all original beats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're all my homies made those beats, and we got full ownership of it. So, you know, and it's been like a probably a 3 year project of actually making tracks for it, and then everything else that you have to do afterwards, you know.
But, man,
yeah,
3 years. Wow, this has been okay. In the works for 3 years now, this highway?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
yeah,
that's...
you know, because it was, where was that?
I was kind of like blown away by that 3 year project. I mean, so this is serious shit. Honestly.
For sure. It represents probably, man, basically every day off I've had from work for the last 3 years, sure, and then you know, studio time and all that. You know, it's been a bill. You know, it's a bill that I've been paying, kind of like a payment. But you know, you get more out of it, I think. You know,
right. So you've been working on this for 3 years, and you say you're okay. Here's something I always find fascinating: the whole collaborative like process and everything. You've been working on this for 3 years. Whenever you had the time, and obviously you've been doing all kinds of promotion for it and everything. So what has the process been like for you as far as, you know, creatively? Like when you each song, like the lyrics and stuff, do they just come to you, or do they come to you in the studio? Because you know I've asked this of a lot of people, and I find it, you know, very fascinating because I'm a creative person too. I do poetry and stuff like that. How's it come to you, and how's that like whole creative process like for you?
Basically, it's you know, my source of entertainment has always been writing and making music and stuff like that. So it's just kind of like what I do. You know, I get home from work and then I work. You know, but it's fun work and my being in my element would be, you know, preferably being by myself. You know, 6-pack or 12-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. You know, a little bit of herb,
that's
or some resin. Yeah.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah. We've grown since then. We went from 211 Steel Reserve to Pabst Blue Ribbon, and then we went from real cigarettes to the e-cig. So we got the e-cig bumping now. But you know, yeah, and I sit down to a beat, and I just got it on repeat, and you know, I apologize silently to neighbors or anybody who has to hear the same fucking beat for 3 hours at a time or whatever it is. But
really, you have neighbors that close that can hear
beat first? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get self conscious about, you know, like who is overhearing, you know, me trying to write, you know, because I know for like a just kind of like a random ear, it just sounds like just kind of like a brain damaged person just kind of like repeating a few lines at a time, like over and over. You know, it doesn't always sound, it definitely doesn't sound the way it sounds on record, like in the moment. You know, it's chip away at it, you build at it word by word, and you know, repeating shit, get it just down just right, you know, like that.
Well, I bet, you know, some of those ones you're flying, man, those words. I mean, that's, you know, one of them is like acrobatic rap or something. How long does it take you to get one of them songs down?
Written or down, practiced, ready to
Both.
But, well, writing could take anywhere from, you know, a couple hours to maybe a few days, just putting it down and then coming back when I'm more fresh. I know my little scale system. After about six beers in, I kind of just get a little bit sloppier, and so I usually put it down for the next night, so I'm fresh with a new six pack. But I mean it could take quick if the beat is really grabbing me and I really have a strong topic to write about, or it could be one of those things where, you know, I don't want to just get shit written. I could set it down and have shit, you know, pop into my head wherever, you know, at work the next day or whatever. So yeah, some songs they have to chip away at.
Right, well,
you
got to practice
that stuff. Yeah, that shit was easy as fuck.
So how long have you been doing this, man? I mean, how long have you been at this? I mean, you seem young to me.
I mean, Sam, it's been 10 years that I've been...
Really?
That I've known it, that I've known it was what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Wow. What age were you?
I was 14, so...
14?
And now we got the math going up. Yeah, I'm 27.
The math. I suck at math.
I'm trying to avoid the age thing, but... You know, also, wait, how old were you then? 13 years plus 14. Oh, okay.
Okay, I mean, well, what inspired you at that age to...
Well, my dad's always been a musician. He's a drummer. He's been drumming all
his
life. Oh, really? Yeah, and back in the day here in Humboldt, he would basically be kind of like an engineer for hire for the local rappers in our scene at that time. You know what I mean? Like the OG One-Eyed Bandit, James Spears. He was one of the first cats I saw rapping, you know, and he, you know, would kind of just drop game. He would be there and he would, you know, teach me things. And I was just, you know, I was kind of just starstruck, you know. They were just regular dudes, but for a 14-year-old, you know, it was exciting. I would come out there and just have my pen and pad going and just kind of emulate things, you know. And then through the years, you know, I developed my own approach to it and my own character, my own voice.
All right. Well, yeah, excellent. I've never heard that before from any of the guests we've had on. I mean, your dad was a drummer.
Yeah.
And that's excellent. Okay. I mean, what kind did he just – was he like a drummer for just, you know, hip-hop music, or was he a drummer – like what kind? What kind of music?
My dad's crazy with it, dude. He could do any genre. Like he,
really?
He prefers – yeah, he prefers, like, blues and jazz,
uh-huh.
But he definitely gets down. And, like, me and him have actually, like, rocked on stage a couple times and playing drums and stuff like that. I think I went out and visited him in Florence, Oregon, where he lives, and got down with his band and shit. Yeah.
Really?
But,
yeah, wow.
Yeah.
See, that's something
and
special there, buddy.
Yeah. It's cool, man. It's
it
actually,
is? That is really cool.
I'm doing an album with my dad, actually. He's going to be making all the beats for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's still way down the road and shit, but
yeah,
it's going to be crazy, yeah.
That is awesome. See, that's very inspiring to me, because I was always really close to my dad, too. He inspired me in so many ways, you know, creatively and all that. And it's really cool to hear, you know, someone as talented as you, because I tell you, I'm blown away by this Highway album. Absolutely. And your style, I mean, it's like, how, okay, I got to ask you this. How in the hell do you do this really fast rap? Like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I can't even emulate it. I can't even pretend to, like, you know, I mean, it's like, how in the hell do you do that? Yes. Yeah.
It's really, when you think about it, it's all mathematics. And it's crazy.
It's mathematics.
I,
oh, boy.
It,
don't
it
get out of the break
like
on me, man.
it's syllables and how many syllables you can fit, and knowing when you're putting too many syllables in there, and knowing just the right pause, you know, and gain another, breath for your lungs to keep going. And it was definitely an acquired skill, you know. Like, I don't think there's people that can just right off the bat do the triplet rhyming and stuff like that. But it was studying and just having the interest to do it, and just kind of not wanting to settle with kind of just simplistic rhymes, I'd say, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't like to flatter myself at all, but I like to try to challenge myself when writing. I don't want it just to be able to. Like, I could shit out a song in, like, 2 minutes, you know, like, every word is fitted to where it's supposed to be, and it comes together. It's kind of like an essay format. I kind of compare it to that. Like, if you're writing an essay in school, you have your introductions and, you know, your bodies and your thesis statement and all that stuff and your conclusion. And by the end of the song, it should just all wrap up and, you know, come together, you know.
Right. Jeez, man. I got to ask you, because I've noticed in this album you have coming out here, some sort of like fishing theme. Am I imagining that, or is that? I mean, gone fishing and then. Gefilte fish
Oh, the gefilte fish. Yeah. Gone Fishing was on the mixtape. That was actually that's one of those projects where the beat wasn't mine. That was actually Gone Fishing was on, over a fucking Alicia Keys beat. And then there's Gefilte Fish, and that was my buddy's production on that. But yeah, I don't know why, but I do have kind of a fish theme, but I am a Pisces, so. maybe that has to do with it subliminally. I don't know.
Subliminally, yeah, that's great.
Dude, there's probably another one out there that's referencing fish. I don't know. But, yeah,
that's great. So, man, I mean, you've got to be stoked. You got to be stoked as hell about this album. You know, I'm still like fascinated about how you can your style. All right, this might sound, well, I don't know, racist or something. Not even racist, but typical. Like, you know, your sound. You have a sound very much like Eminem. You know, your whole style and everything. I'm not trying to put you in a category or anything like that, but. You do. It's like, you know, with the and your style and just the way you blah, 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 and just very much like Eminem and everything. Are there any like particular like rap artists or anything from your past that have influenced you, or is it just music in general and you gravitated towards rap? I mean, what?
Definitely some like actual specific influences in rap.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Sure, and yeah, I do love a lot of genres of music. You know,
uh-huh.
I love taking a break from rap. You know, listening to some
right.
old school jazz. But as far as like rappers that influence me like majorly, you know, like famous ones that we know of. I mean, you got Eminem for sure, but I never wanted to get too fucking stuck on Eminem because I know how how influential he is. You know, and it's
right,
ridiculous,
right.
but. Because he sets right. that bar, and I notice that there's cats out there that'll listen to like one motherfucker at a time, or a couple, handful of cats
yeah.
all the time, and then
mm-hmm.
before they know it, they're they're writing their raps basically. They're you know, and that's why I try not to listen to too much of one person.
Uh-huh.
And the rappers that really influence me, like on another level personally, is
mm-hmm.
there's a few of them, like Lazy Bone of Bone Thugs and Harmony. Corrupt
ah, okay.
because my dad also worked for our local radio station here in Humboldt when it was around, and it was called The Party, and he was basically he drove these guys around when they would come to do shows. And I remember one time I was 14 still, and Lazy Bone was in town doing a show, and obviously I was too young. So the next day, like, Lazy Bone and his crew needed a place to kick it at before they hit the road. They all came to our house. They parked their RV out front. He hooked up a Sega Dreamcast in our living room, and he barbecued for us. Like, it's like crazy, crazy, like, personal moments where I actually got to chill with these people on a personal level as a kid, as a, like, a little sponge of, you know, hype and information. So that was it was on and cracking ever since then. And I've actually, I met him, I got to chill with him for a little bit, and I've actually since then meted these people because I've opened up for both of them since then, and I've actually came up to them and told them, you know what I mean. And actually, Lazy Bone had left his disc man at our house, and years later, at a show that I was opening up for with him, I gave it back to him, and he totally remembered. And he was shocked. It was crazy shit. But I remember he took me aside the night when, you know, like, when he came to town, and I was like 14. I had made a beat, you know, little starting out beat, but he freestyled to it, and he took me aside. He's like, I'm gonna be looking out for your name, you know, not to say like I'm gonna take you under your wing, but I want. He says I'm gonna be, you know, keep my eyes out for you. I know you're
right.
Gonna do something later on in your life, you know. And it's crazy just to have it come full circle and chop it up with him again, you know.
That's sweet, man. That's sweet. I mean, you definitely have a really cool and unique sound. I mean, man, and just hearing, you know, your past and your background, that's amazing. That's really amazing to me. so you have performed live, actually, like.
Have you performed
live, like on stage or?
Oh yeah. I've done hundreds of shows. You know, I mean, they're not like
really.
They have okay. Not, you know, they're. It's not as glamorous as it seems. You know, like
right.
We've had some out of town shows. We did a little mini tour with Smoothie and say like that. You know, a lot of local shows and just building our people up. You know, like. Locally and stuff like that, and it's I don't know, like people trip out when they hear that, you know, I'm opening up for these larger names, but really,
right.
they don't really see the politics behind it. It's really the like the headliners usually don't give a shit about the openers. They're not there
right.
watching you.
Right.
Most of the crowd is not there for you. You know, you gotta really. Do your best to try to steal the show a little bit.
No doubt.
Yeah, always been active.
No doubt. So what's it like for you? I mean, is it nerve-wracking? I mean, are you nervous? I mean, when you are opening up for someone else, what's that like for you personally? I mean, how do you feel physically, mentally? I mean, what's that like?
Always nerves, for sure.
Yeah.
I tend to... When we get to whatever venue it is, and up until the time I get on, I'm really just kind of reclusive, and I don't talk much. And when people come up to me, and I'll be talking to them, but I won't really be there because the nerves are working, you know. And
right. Well, you're probably in the zone, right? You're in the zone.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay.
Hot,
I get that.
Hot and cold at the same time, and uncomfortable and shit. And then as soon as I get off stage, it's good, and everything evens out, and then I'm social again. Social butterfly.
So what's it like when you're actually live on stage? You're just so focused, you're like doing the show and performing, and do you really see the audience at all, or the people in the crowd, or I mean, what's that like for you personally?
While on stage?
Yeah.
It's usually the nerves just go away because I know I have to do something, and it's
right.
fun, you know, because... you know, like I'm satisfied with what I have to put out there, you know, and I'll never say I'm fucking the dopest ever and all that shit. But I'm confident enough to display what I have, you know, to people. And, you know, always got, you know, good reactions. I've never gotten, like, really hatred except for, you know, a couple, you know, isolated, single, drunk, dumb fucks, you know, in the audience.
Yeah.
who end up getting kicked out anyway, you know what I mean? But,
right.
It's trippy because a lot of times, you know, there's you'll see, like, different reactions. Like, if you have some kind of bouncy, you know, or syrupy beat going and people, you know, it makes people dance. And then other shit like Jew jokes or gone fishing and stuff, I perform both of those, and a lot of times people will just be standing there like it's like a fucking tractor beam UFO or something. Like, and it's just like, are y'all feeling that shit? And then them will like, they'll snap out of it, and they'll be like, fuck yeah, you know. But it's crazy. Sometimes we look like aliens up there.
That's awesome, man. Well, that's cool to hear. And you know, I really admire the fact that you're just being totally honest with us and, you know, how it feels because, you know, I've done some crazy shit on stage, too, myself, at several events. I'm not a musician. I'm nowhere near as talented as you, but I've done some crazy shit.
You do, like, some spoken word stuff on stage and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wearing an adult diaper and stuff like that, but... Anyhow, I digress. got my head tattooed, the side of my head, had my head shaved live on stage, and just, yeah, weird stuff. But, yeah, nowhere near as talented as you, man. And, you know, I'm so happy you're here, you know, talk. I mean, I'm going to buy this album. I'm going to buy this. You know, I'm a fan, man, of this, you know. Roadside assistance. seriously. And okay, here's my next question. Humboldt County. All right. I know. I used to live in California. I used to live in San Francisco. And before that, I lived in San Jose. For some damn reason, I never ever heard of Humboldt County until I discovered you. And I think you're going to put Humboldt County on the map, man. What kind of thing you have going on there in Humboldt County? Something's going on there.
Well, we don't have any weed here.
We don't have any weed there.
No weed here. Nobody's a stoner here. We're pretty straight. this is supposedly the weed capital of the world. I don't know if it is anymore. It seems like
really?
Colorado's doing this with their little.
Colorado, I think, is the weed capital now.
Yeah, but we're still the Wild West though. When it comes to the weed scene, you know what I mean? Like we got the fucking the OG growers, you know, like that legal. You know what I mean? Basically, the reality of Humboldt County is that it's weird. It's not a big city, but it's not like some peaceful place. It's grimy here. There's a lot of dark elements that people don't know about. You know, we also are one of the leaders in meth usage here. There's a big meth problem here and heroin.
Oh, okay.
And shit like that. But as far as the weed goes, the weed basically supports it. It basically is our local economy.
Are you serious? Wow. Really?
Straight up, you know, that's how it is. It's a lot of people make their breads and they make businesses and those businesses support other businesses. And
well, that's awesome.
Big business, out of town businesses depend on the local weed.
Wow. Really? Well, see, you know, it shocks me at this point. You know, I'm not a big weed, you know, I'm not, you know, a weed smoker, but I'm more of an alcoholic. But yeah, you know, I have had contact highs and stuff in my life. And, you know, I don't see weed being any more, you know, potent or worse. In fact, probably healthier than, you know, fucking alcohol. And I don't see why it isn't just, as far as the entire nation goes, just sort of legalized. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to get political here.
Oh, or any of that shit.
But you brought up weed being, you know, your main crop there in Humboldt County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's an interesting place, man. It's very mixed, and a lot of people move here from other places. What's
right.
funny is that a lot of people move here from big city areas and to escape the big city shit and escape the drugs and the violence and shit. But pretty much, you know, it's becoming a thing where it basically is becoming that. Like there I think of it like we have a little bit of an identity crisis. Like it seems like sometimes we want to be a big city and we want to act like it and have all that hectic shit going on. You know, shit's crazy, man. Like, there's been a lot more deaths this year, last couple years, you know, like a friend of mine was shot to death like this year. It's not like, you know, it's not a war zone or anything. It's not like not safe to walk around, but the shit is out there, you know.
Right. Man, I'm sorry to hear about that.
It's cool. It's my home, you know.
Right. And you know what? I think, you know, you're going to put it on the map, too. You really are.
And the home
is
Potluck. You can't forget about Potluck because they were the Potluck and Garth Vader. I hope you heard of them, but the homies that they came before me, they're still rocking, very strong. Like they got signed to Suburban Noise Records with Cottonmouth Kings and all that, and you know they're doing big things. Like they mess with Tech N9ne and stuff like that. So they always got to give props to them, you know.
Yeah.
And they've taught me a lot, but. Yeah, as far as the next generation after them, yeah, that's where I hope to come in, for sure.
I think you've got a sound, man. You've got something going on for sure. I got it. Okay, so as far as like pre-sales for your album here, it's what www.wayhigh101.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And no GH on the high.
Yeah. No GH
on the high. A lot of people people mess that one up sometimes. You know, they think highway with just traditional
right.
Spelling it.
And I love the cover. Oh, speaking of which, I love the cover. That's definitely the cover. Roadside assistance, you know, the cover, the chick bending over the,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, the hood of the car and everything.
Shout out, you're standing here with a
Pabst Blue Ribbon shirt on, right?
it's actually a Pabst Blue Ribbon spoof. It says Cali born and raised on it. Yeah, and I saw that at Rock the Bells, and I was like, oh, shit, that is mine. That is mine. I'm cutting a deal with you right now. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And shout out to the lovely Miss Indica Renegade. She was the cover model for that CD, too. She's cool.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You know where I'm going now. You just mentioned her name. You just mentioned her name. And flat out, I have to say, I'm a fan of the twerk, okay? And twerking.
Yeah.
And I do believe there's a certain video that has gone viral, pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Regarding your song and... your song was right there in it while she was twerking. You got it. Okay. You just got to tell us about it. You got to tell us about the twerk video. Okay, man. You know, the Gefilte fish song and the twerk video. I guess it got some notice on TMZ. Is that correct? Come on, tell
yes,
us all about it.
Man, she's just the home girl, and she's very supportive. She's down for like good hip hop and cats that she could tell have their hearts in the right place, and she she realizes she has a lot of followers, and basically she did that just out of just hominess, like, hey, you know, I support what you do, so I'm gonna incorporate it in my videos and let's see if you can get some fans off of my list, basically. And then, man, this fucking thing blew up. Like, it got on World Star Hip Hop. It got on there, and then, fuck, dude, like, that week, I think it was that week it got on TMZ. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. So, yeah, briefly, I was briefly heard on TMZ. You hear a couple lines on that.
Well, I've seen the twerk video, and, yeah. I heard your music in the background. I'm like, holy shit. okay. So do you know this woman personally? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh,
yeah,
you do?
No, she's cool as hell, man. She's, she came down to, or up to Humboldt for the album shoot. And it was cool as fuck. Like, on the inside of the album, like, I'm leaning in. There's like a picture of me leaning in, talking to her, and, you know, as she supposedly broke it down. And we were actually, you know, we were just talking to make it look more natural. We're talking about fucking Star Wars. She's a fucking,
Star Wars. Oh God.
We're both Star Wars nerds. So I was like, already. I was like, okay, you're fucking the homie. Yeah,
that's awesome, because I'm a Star Wars nerd, too.
We were talking about our favorite character. I was trying to explain to her the significance of Boba Fett, the bounty hunter.
What's her favorite character? Yours is Boba Fett. What's hers?
Who was hers? and I can't even fucking remember now.
Please don't tell me Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, God.
Should not exist in the Star Wars. Yeah.
Jar Jar should have been X out.
I agree.
Oh, shit.
But with that, I can roll with Boba Fett, definitely. And Jango Fett, you know, yeah, okay. You know, I prefer, you know what, okay, since we got into the Star Wars thing here, do you prefer the original trilogy or the later trilogy?
I'm always going to be a fan of the first three, like, more so.
Me too.
You know, just
it
was a little
ABD's
bit more raw. Yeah, it was more raw. And I like what they did.
Uh-huh.
The new ones. I like,
right.
In particular, the last one, the third one, where they actually show, you know, Homeboy becoming Darth Vader and like that.
Right,
That was interesting to see, you know. But, yeah, the Jar Jar shit fucked with me. I thought Darth Maul was a bad motherfucker, but they marked his bitch ass out, like, hella quick. Like,
immediately, yeah.
Well, I'm like an old Jedi. Like,
the kid was like the worst actor on the planet. What has the kid done since then? Nothing.
Oh, the kid betraying, yeah, the young...
The little kid, he's like he's fucking garbage.
Oh, you talking about the... What's the fuck? Are you talking
about,
like, the grown-up
kid?
I wasn't fucking big on his acting either, actually, no.
he's gone nowhere, though. I mean, that was it. Boom, done.
Yeah, it was, huh?
Yeah, in
career.
Oh, shit, they were like, you kind of dropped the ball on this, man. I mean, it was cool and all, but...
You know, yeah, I agree with you. I'm a total fan of the original trilogy. I mean, hardcore,
yeah.
Big time. And the first two of, you know, the newer trilogy, buck. The last one, because it kind of tied in, you know, more of the, God, we're getting all, like, generic here and fanboy. But, yeah, You know, the transition of, you know, Anakin into Darth Vader was cool, and they had, you know, they had Wookiees in it. They had fucking Wookiees instead of Ewoks, you know?
Yeah, Ewoks.
Yeah. They had fucking little Yoda just whooping some ass, too, because they were like, okay, we got the technology. We now have the technology to make Yoda whoop some fucking ass. Like,
exactly. He can flip around. Out. Yeah.
Yeah, Yoda was a puppet with someone's fist up his ass in the first three. So
right, he was, and then we got the CGI, and all of a sudden Yoda's like flipping all around, like all crazy with his green lightsaber. That cracks me up. Good Lord, I think I have found a new best friend here as far as Star Wars goes. Not only am I a fan of your music, buddy, but now, yeah, we have this special Star Wars bond because my co-host, Mr. Gosinski, is a Star Trek fan. Ooh, ooh. How do you feel about that? Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Man, definitely Star Wars, but I respect Star Trek. I like the old 60s Star Trek.
Me too, the old 60s original series.
That's the way to go, man. Captain
Man,
where
William Shatner's just boning down on some green alien bitch. Like, that's some classic.
William Shatner was always boning down on some sort of alien bitch, wasn't he?
Dude, he did not give a shit. He was interspecies with
He was getting down on everybody, man. Shatner didn't care.
He'd land on the planet and just fuck something, dude. Trying to kill
he was even, well, he was even getting down with Uhura at one point. The kid.
Yeah, William. Yep.
Yeah,
you never saw Picard, Captain Picard, doing that shit. He didn't get down with anybody.
Oh, no. Well, he wasn't the player like Shatner was, man.
No, Shatner, Captain Kirk, he had it going on.
Fuck yeah, man. The Shat Stackler, dude. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's all right. You Star Wars people, you guys now have J.J. Abrams. He's your problem.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's
like the shit like they did with Aliens versus Predator. Dude, we're gonna have to do like Star Wars, like
don't,
Trek
don't
Wars
compare
or something.
It.
And it's gonna have to be a mashup.
Disney's
sat in his old ass back.
Disney's
Christian
taking over for
Hayden.
Star Wars. That frightens me a bit.
Disney's going to make money is what Disney's going to do.
Oh, yeah, they did buy it out, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yep. George Lucas kind of gave up. Kind of like, yeah, I'm a billionaire, so who gives a shit?
I don't care about his franchise anymore.
The next three Star Wars are going to be fucking musicals.
Oh, God, don't say
Star
that.
Star Wars on ice. Star Wars on ice.
Star Wars on ice, dude. Jabba the Hutt.
I'd like to see Jabba the Hutt on ice skates, yes, on ice. Dude, that would be classic.
I mean, it would definitely work for The Empire Strikes Back.
You get Tanya Harding. Tanya Harding can play Princess Leia.
There you go. She's doing the triple backflip, fucking pirouette and shit on a chain to Jabba. Damn, y'all, you sure you don't smoke weed?
Who, me?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Because you're keeping up with the basically the marijuana induced nerd talk. You're keeping up pretty good.
Oh, man. you know what I do? I do what's called a poetry grenade, and it's about 50% Diet Pepsi and 50% 80 proof vodka. We call those the poetry grenades at live shows I do and everything while wearing diapers and stuff. And I first did that in San Francisco, California, actually, just, a few hundred miles south of where, from Humboldt County, right?
Yes, sir. There you go.
Man, you've been great. You're fun, man. We definitely have to have you on again. And you know, how about we play another one of your songs here? How about we just go ahead and do the the twerk video song. Okay. The Gilfit Fish. All right. And then we come right back, man, and wrap things up. And you're welcome to stay on here and talk some more and promote your upcoming album, man. Cool? You've been fun as hell. I love it. All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
My arms are like two long muskets. Got the budget to put you on a snuff flip. Become a pop star, move on with the tough shit. Trust that I'm a master of killing shit like I'm one of two lines puppet. Pancake mix without the eye, ooh, I can bust quick. Barking like a Yukon Husky. And I see a double A meeting coming. Is the fifth of one of dust. They get your groove on up, chuck, bitch. I'm sinking on my seat like a cruise ship. Review clips, chopping you down if I need to guarantee who dips. Keep it 10 with an O like a blue chip. Or should the pussy smell like tulips? Get it, tulips? Come here, bring it to me, woman. If nothing else, I can just get a little scully drum in the back of your head. Don't stop until I say I'm fully numb. And you're gonna have to run it like you seen a bully coming. Lunch money, right now. Y'all some plumber crack addicts. Loud as fuck, why don't y'all pipe down? Trying to diss me in the nightgown. I'll send you love like a Valentine's Day in Chi-Town. A fine cuisine, don't spill the dish. Keep your game clean cut till you're filthy rich. And talk may be cheap, but it's still delish. I'm in the plane eating the filthy fish.
The filthy fish.
Yeah, right about now, what we need to do is have everybody get fucked up. Now if you feel highway, bashing you in the head with some lyrics, make some fucking noise for them. How did they figure to fit a fat wallet in those skinny jeans? What kind of bacon they bringing home? Jimmy Dean? We got closet broke asses now. Can you see what mood you're in when you look at your pinky ring? Yeah, who can show these cats where the remedy's at? Rat call, the better want this masculinity back. Your little swagger, what you drinking? Hennessy, Jack, Patron, energy drink, vodka with the grenadine back. Who we can hear this shit loud and clear? Y'all can sex at the exit. Fuck outta here. Make way for the high, cause we may really die. You're on cloud nine, okay? Or aim at the sky when I pop off. Training my eye to take Wayne in the prizes. Vain in the skies, bat streak like a washcloth. Hating aside, I can take shit and strive. Making it safe for ride. Fuck Macy's, I got shot. Bump, bump, like it taking the gum. I better get a grip. There's no letting go like Wayne Wonder. Smart mouthing to me is making you dumber. Don't say you're the next hot shit if you're afraid of a sunburn. Fuck around and get melanoma. Knock yourself out. Let a homie die. That's one hell of a coma. Y'all are spitting chloroform. I can tell by the aroma. Got me sleeping on your shit. I'll settle for a soma. Allow me to get my P. Diddy on. I be like, take that, take that. Ya motherfucker. Weasel. That Humboldt County shit.
That Humboldt County shit. Hell yeah. That was some of that Gilfit fish. Am I pronouncing that right? Okay, what is a Gilfit fish, first of all?
It's a gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish, okay.
I got it, the title means absolutely nothing except for that line in the verse, but I got that from one of the Rush Hour movies. I think it was like...
Really?
No, I think it was like Rush Hour 2. At the end of the movie, they have like the bloopers, the outtakes and shit. And there was this part where Chris Tucker was like saying he was trying to order this thing, gefilte fish, and like he kept on forgetting how to pronounce it. And then you hear like whoever, like the director or something in the background, like yell it back to him like all, like repeatedly, because he would keep fucking up. Gefilte. He would say it with a K, like gefilte fish. Like gefilte fish. So I just stole that, basically that premise for that line in that song, and then titled it, basically. Yeah.
I like that.
Completely insignificant.
Okay, you know, I've seen a couple of music videos of yours online, and there's one all about it's called First Time, all about being at a strip club.
Seen that one a couple times.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what was that all about? I mean, was that based on a true story, or was part of that, like, biographical for you, or a little bit of both and a little improv? I mean, that was a really – I mean, the song is great, and the video is just hilarious. Love it. What was the inspiration behind that? What was the, you know, the video shoot like for you?
Well, when it came from this – The beat, I actually made the beat, and I just came up with this sleazy sounding fucking beat, and I was just like, oh, okay, that definitely could talk about, like, strippers or something. And I was like, well, I don't want to just make a stripper song, you know, just to have it. So I took from my past, and yeah, when I first went to a strip club, I didn't know what the fuck to do. Like, the part about the part about kissing the nipple is true. Like, I didn't know what the... I was an 18-year-old freshie, just nervous as fuck. And then I was just like, dude, they put her boobs in my face. What am I supposed to do? I kissed her nipple. And she knew. She was like, this is your first time, isn't it? I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, well, you can't do that, but it's okay. I was like, she was sweet about it, but I was like, oh, God. Like being a freshman, you know what I mean? So yeah, that was all true. I drew from my personal experiences there and humiliating myself, being dumb and fucking and sprung on public boobies, I guess. Yeah. I mean, your first time, dude, you're just like still in awe that you're actually like, wow, dude, they're just walking around naked, and they all seem to like me. Which you find out later, they really don't. They want your wallet, but yeah. The video was very fun. It was cool. Those are the homegirls. We're friends with a lot of dancers there. They're just good chicks, you know. And
yeah. Well, okay. What was cool. I mean? What was that shoot like? I mean,
It was very stressful. There was no enjoyment whatsoever.
No, I didn't expect to hear that. I mean, I just want to know what the actual, like, video shoot was like. I mean, I you know, when you're trying to do something professional like that, you know, and you got boobies and stuff, it's like, yeah, you know, you don't see it or feel it in that same sort of capacity.
Yeah.
So was it like? And how long did it last? I mean, how long did the whole shoot last?
Well, we kind of pumped it up, like promoted it, whatever, a little bit. We invited anybody who wanted to show up and be an extra. They signed a waiver for them. And basically we did it hours before they opened up. So basically it was just a controlled set. You know, there wasn't like no regular business in there. So we were able to take as long as we needed. And that was cool. Fucking probably, I don't know, probably in there about four hours, something like that.
That's it? 4 hours?
Wow.
Maybe five with all the outtake bullshit, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I think at one point, two of the chicks started, like, I think one of them got on the pool table and just started, and the other one started spanking it. So they just did that because they like each other, and that was, basically we all kind of took a break from filming to watch spankage. It's cool. Those little moments. Those little moments you treasure, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it was a good time. For sure. Yeah.
So okay, you got this whole live debut coming up December 10th. Are you going to be there, or is it, you know... I know you've got a promoter helping you out and everything and all that, but are you going to be there live?
I mean, there's no real event about it. Uh-huh. It's just kind of when everything's released, like when you know, you're able to download it online and when, you know, our local stores will put it on the shelves. And basically that'll just be the catalyst for a lot of more work for this year. We're going to do more videos. The next video we're going to do is for the song Gibberish, So actually, I made a song rapping entirely in the gibberish language, which hasn't been done before. And we're actually having a contest to see who can figure out what I'm saying, the whole song. Yeah, we're going to give, I don't know, like prize money, maybe a couple $100 or something like that, or a free show, or I don't know, something like that, merchandise to anyone who can, or at least get closest to what I'm saying. And we're going to probably jump that off shortly after the album does get released, so people actually have the song and they can actually study it, you know. We're trying to build that fan base up a little bit more before we do it, because we want the contest to be kind of, you know, as big as it can be, you know, make it worth it and shit like that.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, this whole year is just going to be kind of like an event for it. We might end up doing a CD release party, you know, a couple months after the release, but still gotta plan that one out.
Yeah. Man, you've got to be pretty stoked. I mean, you've got great sound. I mean, honestly, you have a sound that I could see going mainstream. And mainstream, I know that you know, can to some people sound like ooh yuck, you know, yeah. But you know what? I mean, I could hear, and I can, you know, your sound, your music, being on the radio.
That's what's up, man. Appreciate it. I mean, that's all that means, you know, growing popularity. It's not, definitely not a negative thing to say, you know.
Like, right, yeah. Some artists, independent artists or whatnot, think like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm never going to go mainstream. I'm not going to, you know. But you have a sound, you have a style definitely hear in, you know, on the radio, just driving down the street, taking my kids to school and stuff. I could hear, you know, your sound, your music on the radio, just like, yep. And it still baffles me how in the hell do you do the way you rap and everything, man. I mean, honestly, it's so fast and everything. Is that practice or?
It is.
Okay.
Years of practice, like every day. I really don't take days off from it.
Uh-huh.
Like it's kind of weird. Like free time to me. Like I feel like I have to be working on it because there's always someone out there that's working harder than you.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That's more diehard about it. So it's like, you know, you can't live comparing yourself to them, but you got to know what's out there, and you got to know that you get out of it what you put into it.
Right.
You know, and times, you know, days off where I could just be fucking just at home, just watching movies all day, you know. I choose to write, you know.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it's my therapy and it's my, you know, my entertainment.
Right.
So,
and you got it going on, man. You do. All right. Well, we're gonna go ahead and take a quick Puff the Magic Dragon break here. That's our usual mid-show break and. You know, you're welcome to stay on here or, you know, whatever. I mean, we have some other guests coming on. If you want to stay on and shoot the shit with everybody, you're more than welcome. I'd love to have you on. You're fun as hell. But if, you know, you got other stuff to do, that's all cool, man. You've been wonderful and great. And, you know, I'm definitely going, I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan of Highway.
you got to say,
I'm trying. I'm an Ohio boy, you know. I used to live in California, and my co-host is a California boy too, aren't you, Mr. Gasinski?
Yes, I used to live in the armpit of California, though, Fresno. So that's the armpit.
Yeah, Humboldt. Yeah, it baffles me that I've never heard of Humboldt County before you. But you know what? You're definitely Highway 101, man. Putting it up, you're putting it to roadside assistance. You're putting it on the map.
If somebody's looking to get the album, where do they go? What's the website? Or do you have a Facebook or a Twitter?
Yeah, we got all that stuff. It's Facebook/WayHigh101. It's I believe it's the same. I think on Twitter it's Humboldt Highway. Instagram is WayHigh101, I believe. And then, WayHigh101.com, the official site. And the album will be for sale on my .com site, and it'll also be on iTunes and Amazon and Rhapsody and all these other download sites like CD Baby and all those things.
All right, awesome.
Right on. Yeah, thanks so much for being on the show. And you know what? You've been fun as hell.
That's what's up, man.
You are more than welcome, you know, to come back on here with us anytime, man. Hang out and give us an update on how, you know, everything is going with, you know, with the new album and all that. Absolutely.
That's what's up. All right. Guys do this, this is an every Friday night show? Or?
Every Friday night, yeah. And it's going to be more than just every Friday night. We do this shit a lot. And you're more than welcome.
Shit, I might have to pop through and fuck y'all again, man. This has been cool.
Anytime,
yeah.
Thanks.
All right, take it easy, man, and thanks again for being on. We're gonna take a quick break with a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon, because you know it's always good to get a little puppy, and then we're gonna come right back with Craig Cady and Lucas Rex, Lucas D.D. Rex, Brooklyn based.
Yeah.
Brooklyn-based boys here with their Castfield Get Yourself Together tour. We'll be right back.
All right, fellas.
Good night, man. Thanks.
Stay easy, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all.
Magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop the magic dragon lived by in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Pop roared out his name. Oh, Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Like rain of no light.
Oh, yeah. Puff the Magic Dragon. Indeed. Yeah. I know. I don't know. Is it a metaphor for, you know, having a puffy as far as, like, you know, an erection? And, or, you know, I more see it as sort of a metaphor for, you know, getting kind of high. Puff the Magic Dragon, yeah, lives by the sea, yeah, and just, like, veges out. What do you think, Mr. Gosinski?
Yeah, I don't think Peter, Paul, and Mary were singing about erections.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
Did you
think they were talking
Mary?
About getting? You think they were talking about getting high?
Did you ever see Mary? I don't think they'd be singing about erections. But yeah, probably singing about the Humboldt County cash grab.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So hey, you know what? We're gonna bring up our next guest here, and it's the Cassfield Get Yourself Together tour, boys. You know, Mr. Craig, Ultra Violence, Katie, and Lucas DD Rex. We're gonna bring them on. We're gonna bring them on right now, and you know what? We're gonna talk to them all about that whole tour they had going on. They had really cool thing going on. I mean, I was there live. I met them live and heard it. And you know, you were here for, you know, the radio show when they were talking about it. You know, it's going to be exciting for me. Yeah, to hear about how that all went and to hear what they have going on here for the future. I mean, they're very, very talented. I mean, I'm jealous. You know, I wish I was even a fraction as talented, you know, as they are. But, yeah, here we go. We're going to bring them on right now. Hello, Craig and Lucas. Are you guys there?
Yes, we are, Brian. Hello.
Hey, can you hear us? Okay, this is Lucas. That was Craig.
Yeah, we can hear you plain as day. Great. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks so much for coming on. You know, I would, I know, we preceded you with a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon, and that was totally unfair because, gosh, you know, who knows what. Well, what's your interpretation, really quick, just quick, Puff the Magic Dragon, quickly?
Well, I honestly, this is Lucas, I don't know enough about the history of the song, personally.
Right.
I've known it since I was a child, like many of us, growing up in the United States, in the Midwest, and I was perhaps naive, and I looked at it as a song about a magical dragon.
I used to watch the cartoon at my babysitter's house in the 80s in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, that's funny, because I used to have
it quite a bit.
Yeah, I had the 45, actually, okay? I had the 45, you know, the old record players, you know, 45. And that was my original interpretation, too. But as I got older, I started thinking more and more about the lyrics. Like,
Brian, you sound paranoid.
Do I sound paranoid? I probably am.
Well, we first talked to you when we had begun our tour, and
it started in Brooklyn, right? With the kickoff, the whole tour kickoff.
Yes, it
right?
Began in
Brooklyn. Yeah. And from there.
And from there, oh, the things we saw.
dude, that's what I want to hear about. That's the juicy stuff.
No. There were definitely a lot of places. Yeah, so we saw you, Brian. You came to our show in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio, yes.
We were so grateful. It was really good to meet you. We had a raucous crowd there. It was just
to thank the adoring fans, Columbus.
So many people
showing hat for it.
It was honestly overwhelming, the kind of, what would you call it? Chutzpah we saw there. It was a lot of people. No, it was really it was a great time. We enjoyed it tremendously.
It was, yeah. In the Columbus show, yes. fond memories. I was blown away. Honestly, I was blown away at how good the show was. And you guys, you know, yeah, there was just a handful of people there. Yeah, you guys just performed and made the shit happen. Like, you know, wow, okay. Yeah, just did it no matter what. No matter what, the crowd size and all that.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I was blown away. The visuals,
well,
you had
back
down and everything.
Would like to thank those who invited us to their lives there.
Uh-huh.
The Castfield Council members would like to thank those who invited us into their lives.
Yes, Craig is elaborating on my prior point that the Castfield Council members would like to thank those
right.
who were invited.
You got to get yourself together, right?
Yes, and tour. And,
right.
And get it together. So, yeah, after Columbus, Ohio, we went on to Indiana, Bloomington. We had a fantastic time there. We met some people. I know if we return, when we return there, we'll have some new connections. I mean, that was a big part of this tour, right? Like, we wanted to see what we could get away with where, and we could go to a coffee house, you know, in Indiana and make some connections and figure out if that's the right place to be next time. Maybe it wasn't. And that was a big part of it. So we learned and we met people. We met some people in Columbus, Ohio, too. I really liked that place, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. I remember talking to the sound guy. Remember he was young, like,
college
student.
Oh, he was sweet, yeah.
He was, yeah. He was really good. He was really cool and very accommodating. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, what did it take for you guys? I mean, okay, so you went from, you know, Brooklyn, you know, to Columbus, to Indiana. I mean, what did it take for you and Craig to prepare for this? I mean, how long did you guys prepare, like, ahead of time? Because it just, I mean, everything was just, once the show started, it was just like boom, boom, boom. Just, it went so smooth, you know, and you guys, everything was just down. You had everything just set just a certain way. I mean, how much preparation goes into that?
Yeah.
I mean, it has hours.
Hours. Essentially, we've been working together for years.
Uh-huh.
And we had elements of the show lined up for, you know, maybe even up to 3 years beforehand.
Uh-huh.
And then we really sat down and focused on it when we decided we wanted to tour across the country. Spent a few months on it, really ironing it out.
Really?
The process was, a fair amount of repetition, but through that you develop a system and find inspiration in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And a shorthand for communication. Because really, and I believe we did discuss this when we were on the show before, but
uh-huh.
we didn't too much time nor have so much time to prepare material-wise. But
uh-huh.
the way both of us work, it was better that way. because if we began to dwell on it, it would change so much and it would be, you know, put off, it wouldn't get done, the work wouldn't get done. So there's a certain amount of time, yeah, it's like too much practice or too much thought. But yeah, we didn't work that long on this particular show, but we already had sort of a shorthand to work. We had the show last year, too. We had a different show last year, and they both parallel each other in certain ways, except the goal for this was to move more and to have some dialogue, which we didn't have before. The first show was us sitting on the ground, candles. It was meditative. This, we stood up, we walked around. I sang songs, which wasn't part of the first show. And then our goal for the next one, I think, is to change the tone.
Time and movement into it. Not as much movement as we had hoped to, but that's probably going to be further developments. But what we did really do was create more of a dialogue with the audience, as well as invoke dynamic.
Right. And you know, I sensed it. I felt it when I was there. I mean, It was very dynamic. It was different than any other, like, poetry slash, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to even categorize because I've never been to a show like that before, ever. You know, you guys combined poetry, music, live performance, and, you know, just audience interaction like nothing I've ever seen before, ever. I think,
well,
Craig,
that's
Craig,
nice
are you there,
right? I'm glad about that. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, that was Craig speaking before, and this is Lucas again.
Okay, I'm getting confused. All
right. Yeah, sorry. And the visual element is something that I liked this time more. We had that loop in the back with the video, the different living rooms, interior spaces of 1960s homes that were up to our standards. Of the Cassfield standard of living. The Cassfield standard of living, yes, the CSL. We have a certain level of expectation for our city. That's right, in CSL. That's not SLC. I was going to make a segue there about Salt Lake City. I'm dyslexic. The point is, wow, it's a beautiful place. And, you know, we... swam in the Great Lake. Salt Lake City is a
city of very kind people, sunshine, and very clean. The Cassfield Council members would like to thank those who invited us into their lives.
Well, and that's
yes.
Okay. See, that's what I wanted to ask you guys about too. Is okay. You know, I saw your show live. And I want to know how it went, like, you know, beyond Columbus, Ohio, beyond Indiana. I mean, I know you guys made it to, I mean, Illinois, I mean, Springfield, Illinois.
We made it all the way over to Seattle, Washington.
You definitely made it. Okay, see, I want to hear how that went. And what was it like from, like, one venue to the next? I mean, that's what I find fascinating. Is I want to hear how did it pan out for you guys?
Upon,
like from one,
upon
was it
booking
like,
everything? We kind of had a vague idea of what to expect, as if it were like a coffee show or a coffee house show, a basement show, a show in a gallery, or maybe like some. We even played a hardcore show. Two hardcore shows actually.
Hold on. A hardcore show.
Yeah, it was all these adorable. One was in Springfield, Illinois, with all of these great punk rock kids in the middle of this place called the Black Sheep Cafe, which is a really nice anarchist DIY venue that the kids put out themselves right next to Skank Skates on North Grand.
Okay.
It was a very beautiful experience.
Okay.
We played between maybe two or three. Were we the second or the third between the hardcore bands?
I believe, yeah, we were. I don't remember. Yeah, we were the second or third in the lineup between these hardcore bands. And we did that again. We did it once in Colorado, but that was the one show that didn't quite work out the way the rest of them did so cleanly. And then we were between some bands as well in Seattle. Yeah, the way our subject and our mediums intersect between quieter coffee shop performances and hardcore shows is, I suppose, a unique aspect of it. And gosh, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm proud of that. That's nice, huh? Interesting. But yeah, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Hardcore shows. That's true.
I think what my friend Lucas is trying to say is that people of all aesthetics can appreciate us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah,
the Cassfield
Council
members would like to thank those who were invited to us into their lives.
All right, so you guys definitely made it all the way out to Seattle, And then you came, did you guys circle back to Brooklyn for a homecoming show or what?
We did circle back to our Radium Girls in Brooklyn for a homecoming show at Fancy. Fancy is a party that our friend Shane, a renowned performer, hosts in Bushwick, Brooklyn. A revolutionary queer performance, and quite a bit more than that as well.
So, okay. I mean, looking at the list, you guys. I mean, okay. You started off in Brooklyn, you know, Columbus, Indiana, Illinois, whatever. Did you guys make it to Iowa and Minneapolis? How did that go?
We played a show in Des Moines at an open mic. It was a very low-key show. From there, we went to Nebraska. We were in Minneapolis, Denver, Salt Lake City,
Portland, Oregon.
Was there something before Portland?
No, there wasn't anything in between the long stretches. We also did Madison, which is where we are from originally. We went to school together and we met.
And Chicago.
Okay,
as well.
Madison,
Chicago,
Wisconsin. Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. And then before that, it was Springfield, two shows, and then before that, Indiana. And those, I suppose, are all the links, aren't they?
All right. Well, cool. And,
the Cassfield
okay.
Council members would like to thank those who invited us into their lives.
I bet the Cassfield Council members would. you guys cracked me up. I had so much, you know, I got to be honest. I had so much fun at the show in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm so glad I came to that. seriously. So I want to ask, was there one particular like venue or event that for both of you, or, you know, it might be different for both of you, that stands out the most? I mean, that, you know.
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah, just, I mean, that really, like, moved you personally, like, after the performance or whatever or whatnot. Out of, you know, because you guys went all across the country with this, and it's a very impressive show. I would like to hear how, you know, which venue or which event stands out the most for either one of you.
I would say playing the upstairs of Jenna's Lounge in Madison for me, Craig, was probably the most moving, because we I don't know, I have quite a history with the venue as well, and it seems that you can never really go home again, but I saw a full room of so many people that I have known and loved for years, and being able to share something that maybe I brought from a place that they haven't seen yet in me was very moving. I guess as well as performing, Lucas's mother and stepfather were there, which was also very wonderful and meaningful. I guess another one would be just performing for my parents in Springfield, Illinois. The more exotic shows were very interesting, but as far as personal effect, it would have to be going home again and seeing everyone and sharing with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is Lucas. I was going to say I immediately had images pop in my brain when you mentioned the most memorable shows of Madison and Springfield, and because it's because of our parents being there and good friends. It's impossible not to have those associations, I suppose. And they were good shows. They were solid shows at those times. Besides those, we had a rock and roll fucking party time in Bloomington, Indiana. I was just
really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think Indiana. That cracks me up. Okay.
You know, they've got the University of Indiana there, and they have some interesting people. So, yeah, I was going to mention Bloomington as being a special show because
It was the first time when we were on the road away from Brooklyn that we felt the show went the most smooth and the audience was so receptive, and we had a really great opener. His name is Kenneth, and he is the sole member of the do you remember? He has an electronic band, and he is surrounded by synths and mixers, and it was the first time he had ever performed, and he is a man who is in his 60s, and he lives in the Bloomington area, and he has an affinity for CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and some other bands that we admire.
Really?
And he does these great electronic only versions of these old hits, and it was a really perfect open to the night, I think. And then after the performances, we went out and we did karaoke with a bunch of the people who came. We hadn't known them previously, and it was a great time. So that was very memorable that night.
Yeah, we went out with the person who performed after us. Bad Psychic is her band's name.
That's right.
I like the sound of that. Bad Psychic. Really? Wow.
Yeah, and she's very talented. And then the other show that comes to mind is Seattle, Washington, because we did have a good amount of friends come there, and we actually had sort of a negative experience there. The club we booked at, which it wasn't the fault of anyone, you know,
right,
for the owner and the people who worked there, and it was a venue that was connected to just the owner. the place was connected to a gay nightclub, and it was like the biggest gay nightclub in the city of Seattle. It was Latino night. And the bass from the club, the gay club, which is brimming with incredible drag queen performers.
Our entire show had a reggaeton backbeat to it.
Yeah, because you see, and as you recall, I perform with a looper pedal with microphones set up, sensitive Casfield-made microphones, and they picked up the boom, 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 next door, and the so my looper pedal picked up those beats, and then the show was way more interesting. And then we were surrounded by friends, so that was a good night. And we went out after as well. I guess the most memorable nights are the ones where we went out after too. I guess, yeah. So
well, that yeah,
you know,
well, you know,
America.
Hey, that's yeah. I want to hear all about the after show. You know what? Half these shows, you know, we all perform. Because I've gone out and performed many times, and I've done some stupid stuff and all that in my shows. But you know what? It's always about the after party. So you have a fun after party show.
Yeah. Well, story. I mean, it's mostly about the Casfield Council members and how they'd like to thank those who invited us into their lives. So many lives. And we did touch a lot of lives. We had a lot of people buy a small program that we made that was made available to the audience.
We made a self-help pamphlet on tour and passed it out at our later shows. I guess that was starting the show after yours, Brian. We'll mail you one if you like. So.
I would love to have one. You know, and I love your show, and I admire the hell out of what you guys have going on and what you're doing. And otherwise, I wouldn't have you on here, and I wouldn't have gone to see you live in Columbus, Ohio. So, yeah, what do you guys have, like, in store here for the future? Do you guys have any more tours in mind, or you guys?
Well, we do perform around New York individually and sometimes together. You know, I do music performances, and sometimes I add some visuals in, some video elements. And recently I worked on a music video that was released for Halloween. It was called Three Nightmares, and I think you looked at it online or you said something, but that was an important project to me. I had music and combined video elements. So, yeah, I have performances coming up. Craig does as well. And we're working on other projects. But we do hope to have another show together. We have some seeds, some ideas. You know, we had 2 years in a row where we had these half-hour performances that were rather similar, so it'd be nice to continue that trend. Craig has written 4 poems that he considers to be possible seeds for the next performance, and we also have general theme ideas and mood ideas, so that is what's going on right now. It's in the ether.
In the ether. You know, the ether, that makes me kind of drowsy. thanks so much, man. You guys, seriously, I have never been to a live poetry show or anything else that has moved me or inspired me more than your show did. Honestly, I'm not joking. You know.
Thank you.
I had this weird feeling, like, okay, these guys, they got this, you know, they got this show coming on here, you know, coming up here. And I'm, you know what, have them on the radio show, and you know what, go see it live, and man, blown away. Just the way you guys used, you know, the music, combination of music, poetry, and, you know, visuals in the background and everything, but the video, it was phenomenal. It was like nothing I have ever experienced,
Brian,
before, ever. And
which portion of the show do you remember, one that like especially stuck out to you? Because when I try to think about the show, I know it well, but I can't. I don't really think of it. And you saw it the one time. And I wonder I have no idea what it's like to see it once, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't even really know what it's like to see it at all. But I was just wondering if there's anything that stuck out to you.
Oh, man.
Besides the amazing music, but I wonder what else.
Well, I mean, just one thing. Wow, way to put me on the spot. But because I
That's
can't
right, Brian.
Point out just one
Please
single
speak in specifics
thing.
In Cassfield.
Cassfield, you Cassfield fellas, you know. No, seriously, I can't think of just one particular thing because there were so many elements about it. Everything. I mean, the pre-show,
yes.
Setting up the actual show itself, you know, you had the, oh, my gosh. I mean, just the music and you guys performing live, and everything was, you weren't sitting there reading from like pages, you know what I mean? You didn't have like a book or a page in front of you while you were performing. You guys, the stuff was memorized. The stuff was, you guys were performing. It was an actual performance in every in every possible way. It was live. And real.
Hello?
Guys, we're reading, and you were singing, and you had music, and you had wild visuals. Like, it was like no other performance I had ever seen.
I mean, we'll lap this up. We do have, we're going to be performing at the Southridge Mall in Des Moines, Iowa next summer. We haven't
confirmed
the date.
And exactly next summer?
Haven't confirmed the date, but it will be at the Southridge Mall in Des Moines, Iowa. It's a very beautiful place with very white spaces and many leasing opportunities. there are a few self-help groups there as well, I believe AA, some churches, and... Stay tuned for more of that. Yes, this mall, it's a shopping mall, and it contains no chain stores that are known to us. It's mostly abandoned. The locals have all but eschewed the place for there is an appealing they've eschewed it for this new adjoining strip mall. It has a lot of corporate outfits. There's a shoe carnival there, and the lights weren't quite working when we entered, and they were flickering. And
Craig almost had a Pall Mall seizure over there. He's a sensitive guy, but gosh, we did survive. There was also a nearby movie theater we went to. The movie theater was like traveling back in time to 1987. There were neon zigzag details above the menu boards, and there was a stained teal and black leather couch in the lobby, the shape of a plus sign.
We were the only two people in the theater that day.
In the mall, there was an intersection of two long halls and a carpeted stage in the center. There was a light blue octagon shape to it. Each side,
there was a man ice skating on now ice at all but plastic with two children. He did a cartwheel for us, and we made eye contact. We made eye contact with the child who was working the counter at one of the gift stores with bongs in it and dragons, and we bought a hat there, and we bought shirts, and there was a large store that was but a garage sale.
Yes, and a large woman in the center of a very small food court that had one food store. This is true, though. It had one food store, and it wasn't some chain. It was just an angry small woman with some dried-out pretzels and sausage pizza that had certainly been sitting out too long.
They sold bacon as a side and french fries.
Yes, and Craig remarked that Tiffany had probably at some point in the late 80s performed on the aforementioned carpeted stage.
Right where we were standing.
It was incredible, Brian.
It sounds incredible. You guys, see, even on the show, you guys impress me and blow me away. I swear to God, you guys are so talented in so many ways. All right, and I hate to categorize you guys. I mean, I'm not categorizing. I'm just going to say you guys will always be the Castfield boys to me. I'm just always going to call you Lucas and Craig the Castfield boys because that's the way I'm always going to remember you.
We are happy to identify the homes
Castfield
as such.
Boys.
The Castfield
boys.
You guys
are
so... members would like to thank those who invited us into their lives.
Absolutely.
We couldn't do it without you or the other people who also invited us into their lives.
Great.
So thank you so much.
The show's about to, chime out here. And how about we chime out with a little bit of Castfield stuff here from your show in Columbus. All right, here we go. Good night, guys, and thanks, everybody. Been a great show.
Yes, and the Castfield Council members would like to thank those who invited us into their lives. Thank you.
Imagine our surprise in such a tear-down and rebuild-type town to find you not dismantled when the cranes leaned in to peel away your facade and to pick you down to the Tyvek. Nude women's rooms, we two gay men assumed, avoided you in the Capitol's long shadow, passed you each day on the way to work between occluding breasts and steel lattice. Did not know that inside you grew another coat of bricks as if to race the changing seasons. When end of summer held on dark green, through massive progress, through regress and demolition, the workers had to fasten a tube slide to one of your windows, just hung there, draining drywall, 2x4s and chairs. Regression. Feckless demonstrations.